I just love the song she picked out. In all of her wisdom and all of her training, she's going to sing a song, Simply Trust.
Simply trust in Him. You can travel over to James chapter 2. That will be very helpful for you. James chapter 2 and verse 1. I was very encouraged and by the sermon this morning. I don't know about you, but Proverbs 16:3 was one of the verses that God put on our hearts as we made our journey here to Grace Baptist Church. And commit thy ways unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. That was one of the things that I struggled with the most, was my thought process. What if, what if, what if? Anybody struggle with the what ifs? I mean, they're always challenging you. They're always throwing in. And you could what if the rest of your life and never get anywhere, right? And those were all the things that I was struggling with. And we were going through Proverbs on a Wednesday morning Bible study. We had a Wednesday morning Bible study up there for those that didn't like to get out during the night. And we had more of a snow issue than you all have here and ice issues. And so a lot of times during the winter especially, it was hard for people to get out at night. And so we had a Wednesday morning group where we would go through Proverbs. And that was one of the best studies that I could go through. And I just got to sit there and reap the blessings of being able to be taught Proverbs, because we had a retired pastor in our church up there and he was teaching through it, and it was such a blessing. That just hit me when I was working through it and wrestling in my mind, realizing that I was Jacob, you know, wrestling with him. God bless me. I don't know if this is the right way. And then all of a sudden he says, peace. It's okay. You're going to be all right. Family's going to be all right. So this morning was very encouraging, but it was also tear flowing as well. I don't know if you've ever been there in a message and you just can't stop it. You just got to let it go. Let God work in your heart. Let it affect your heart. And so I hope that God can do that here tonight. In James chapter 2, we're going to be talking about the eye exam. Anybody have an eye exam in here? How many of you think that your spouse should go in for an eye exam? My father-in-law, he had some issues with hearing. In fact, when he would talk in his regular voice, you could hear him across campus at college. And everybody knew when he was speaking. I mean, he just has this voice. And it would just carry. And he really likes the movies with all the explosions, because he can actually hear it, okay? But you know, for us regular hearing folk, he would often say, oh, this is the greatest movie of all time. You've got to check this out. This is amazing. I mean, you just got to hear the audio on this. And he had surround sound. And he would max that thing out. And all of a sudden, boom, boom, the whole house would shake. You would shake. Thinking, man, is the rapture happening? What's going on here? I mean, this is extraordinary. He's like, wasn't that great? Should we turn it up? You know, he said, no, I think I don't have any hearing now. I think I'm on your level now, okay? And I realized that he was a Navy diver, and going under the water and dealing with all the training and everything, it affected his hearing. And so they finally, he went to the VA, and they gave him some hearing aids for free. Praise the Lord, because he would have never bought them. And I'm so thankful that they gave them to him for free. And then all of a sudden he went, you know, he goes from like this level to, hey guys, how's it going? It's, wow. And then you can whisper, and he can whisper, and he's wow, I didn't know. It's, thank you. Thank you, Lord. You're such a blessing to be able to understand this man needed some hearing aids, and now he can talk at a real man's level without blasting us. Now you say, well, where are you going with this? Well, some of us need a hearing check. Some of us need a seeing check. Some of us need a lot of checks, don't we? And some of you getting pastor's age and you need a lot more checks. And I'm just kidding. Stop it. Calm down. All right. He's looking at me weird. But he's not sitting in the front row, so I figured I could bug him. All right. So, but it's you're dealing with this and you're saying, well, what's going on? Well, I think we all need an eye check tonight. We all need an eye exam. You say, what are you talking about? Well, as you get into James chapter 2, and as we read this, and I would encourage you, can you read it out loud with me as we go through this? Can you do it? And you say, I don't have my Bible with me. Shame on you. But you can look on the screen. James chapter 2, verse 1, it says that, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you, and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, Do not commit adultery, said also, Do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment, and without mercy, that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that we get to read it here tonight together. We get to study it. And God, help us to apply it. And if we go away without applying this, God, have mercy upon us. But wake us up. Help us to see the reality of our sin. Get right before you. Embrace the cross. Embrace your eyesight. God, we love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. So you say, why do we need an eye exam? It's exactly what it's speaking about here in this passage, in the sense that all of a sudden, these Christians who are spread out, who are separated due to persecution, they are struggling, they are being ridiculed, mocked, they're being taken away for their belief system. I mean, this was a tough world to live in as a Christian. They did not have it as easy as we have it here today. And you say, oh, it's so tough because people call me names. Listen, they had a lot worse that would happen to them. A lot worse. When it was the norm for a dictator to take Christians and light them, using them as torches for his parties, that's pretty bad. That's pretty rough. And yet, still in the midst of persecution, humanity has this issue of looking on people through the wrong lens, through the wrong set of glasses. Anybody have sunglasses that gives you a different shade of color? Okay? All of a sudden, it just changes different things in your sight as you go through. And you say, wow, that's a unique color. And then you take off your sunglasses and, oh. Has anybody ever had the rose-colored glasses? Everything's all rose-colored. I mean, and you look and, oh. That changes the shade of things. I mean, it makes it look a little bit different. Well, some of you decided to finally go back in and get an eye exam after 50 years because you didn't think that your eyesight changed at all. And then all of a sudden he says, wow, your eyes have changed drastically. And your doctor lies to you. You say, what are you talking about? You know, when they say, well, I just got these new lenses that I need to try. I need to test. I need you to tell me which one's better. One or two? Those aren't new lenses. He's had them forever. He's just wanting us to test them, all right? He's, you know, but have you ever been through that? And he's, one or two? They're both bad. I don't know. A or B? Anybody ever been through that? And you're going through that, and he says, whoa, okay, it's changed since, you know, 50 years ago when you had your last eye exam. Here's your new prescription. Let's order you some glasses. And you say, will my insurance cover that? No. Okay, I'm not getting new glasses. I'm just going to deal with the old ones. He said, no, you need to get new glasses. Oh, finally, I'll do it, okay. So you get them, you order them a couple weeks later, you put on the new glasses, and whoa, people actually have lines that aren't blurred. I mean, wow, I can actually see the words on that page. I mean, you're starting to see and understand things in a clearer light. So again, why are you coming back to this? Because, see, humanity, even in the darkest of days, humanity still doesn't understand and struggles with how they view people. You say, what are you talking about? Because in our day and age, we look at people based on the color of their skin and judge them based on the color of their skin. Why? Because we're sinners. Now, should that change as a Christian? Yes. I shared something today in Sunday school this morning. And have you all seen that video of the brother of the African-American who was shot in his apartment by the off-duty cop? And have you seen Jesus through that man? A young man, that's Jesus right there. When the whole point of his response is to say, you just need to find Jesus. Can I give you a hug? Could you do that? Could you get past the differences of human beings and see them through the lens of Christ? I love it. There was a picture of an African-American boy and a white boy, and they decided to both shave their heads because they wanted to fool their teacher, going as twins. I don't see a difference. Well, what about an autistic boy? Just another boy. So why are you struggling? Because there's so much division in our world today. We draw the line based on political parties, on which side of the tracks you come from, on how much money you make, how old you are, how tall you are. Why are we doing that? My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. When you have Jesus in your life, you don't see people by the color of their skin. You don't see whether they're red or blue, or they're a man or a woman, in the sense of this person just needs Jesus Christ every single day of their life so that eternity can be with him rather than the pits of hell. Because guess what? It won't matter there. We won't be ripping names on them at that point. We won't be drawing the line there. What he's saying here is, listen, when you're in a tough strait, you don't make divisions. When faith is acted out, that casts that out. It just doesn't make any sense. It's gone. It's out of your lifestyle. You get rid of it. You cast it off. You're done. Probably close the sermon right there. This is something the churches have to get. This bothered me. The Dayton Center Church, we are a non-denominational church. And I struggled when I was right before I sent him my resume, I actually called up pastor. And I said, I don't know if I should send this in. They're not Baptist. Not Baptist. And he says, well, that could be a struggle. And he says, well, do they hold on to the Baptist distinctives? And I said, yeah, they are Baptist all along the line except for their name. And we ended up going and ministering there and realizing there's a lot of saved people there. Love people of God, but you know, some people that are called independent fundamental Baptists cast me out quick. Left me alone. Said, I don't have time for you. How dare you? Jesus died for me. Why are we so affected by this? Because this is where America is. This is where Baptists are. Or they carry the name of Baptist higher than the name of Jesus. And they elevate that. Forget that there's brothers and sisters all across Taylorville. They might not go into the same building that we do. But they love Jesus and Jesus died for them. And they can grow in Jesus Christ. You say, but we got to hold on to the Baptist tradition. Let's hold on to the Word of God. My brothers, he didn't say my Baptists. My brothers, sisters, my family, who spans beyond 62568. Have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. That just doesn't connect. Don't look at people through the eyes of the world. Don't see them with the way people see you in this world. There is an otherworldly lens that we see people. Anybody know Answers to Genesis, that ministry? Praise the Lord for that ministry. And they describe it like this in people that deal with evolution. They put on the lenses of evolution where they have a set of presuppositions. And based on those lenses, that's how they see everything. So they just believe in this standpoint. And believe me, it takes a whole lot of faith to believe that we came from monkeys. It takes a whole lot of faith to believe that the Big Bang happened and boom, out of chaos comes organization and beauty and the creation of the universe. I mean, that takes a lot of faith. But then as a Christian, we have a different set of glasses. It's called the Word of God. It's called our faith in the Word of God that we have in Jesus Christ, the Lord of all glory. Again, does not connect with partiality, with respect of persons. Tonight, as we see this eye exam, I want to deal with this. So many people have left the church based on politics within the church. I say, gospel has nothing to do with politics. Is he talking about Democrat, Republican? No, I'm just talking about politics and drama in general. Trying to appease people. Trying to put the opinions of man over the truth of God's word. To where pastors run around and worry whether they're going to make this person mad or they make that person mad. How about let's just be concerned about what God thinks. So never be on the mind of a pastor, well, how warm is it, how cold is it in here, and who's going to get ticked off this morning? Are the pews comfy enough, or should we have chairs? I think we just mixed it up, didn't we? Or should we dress up or go casual? Or should we bring a guitar in or just have piano? Or let's just go a cappella. What does God want? What does God want? And that's a question that we need to ask here tonight. And are we willing to destroy the politics within the church for the sake of the gospel? As we get into this here tonight, see in verses 1 through 4, point number 1, seeing people through the eyes of the world. It says here, verse 2, for if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come on also a poor man in vile raiment. What's the difference? Somebody comes in all dressed, all fancy and nice. You say, well, gold ring, that's a lot of men that might come in here because they've got a wedding band. Well, that's changed a lot in the last few years, I think, because I think more people are going for tungsten or what have you, and so that might change it up. Mine's a $36 Amazon ring, so. But it means more, a lot more than $36. As you see somebody coming in, and all of a sudden, you make a judgment call based on what they're wearing, what they value, what you value. All of a sudden, we just totally discredit everything that God values. We just take that natural instinct, and we see people on the way that they dress, the way they curl their hair, the way that they take a bath, what have you, what kind of earrings they put in. All of a sudden, we make a judgment call. Again, you know, they could be wearing, you know, a hat or, you know, cowboy boots or something. And all of a sudden, we make a judgment call. Well, they're in a different part of the country. They must be from somewhere different. You know what? That's where I'm coming in, and he's saying, listen, we're making judgment calls based on what they wear, whatever we can see on the outside. I mean, what does God look at? The heart. Says, and if ye have respect to him that weareth the gay or happy clothing, the fancy clothes, and saying to him, sit thou here in a good place. Take the good spot. Say to the poor, stand thou there. We don't have a place for you to sit. Just go over there where you're out of the way. We need to reserve spots for those who can afford it. Sit here under my footstool. All of a sudden we get into this point where James is pointing at us and saying that we, when we see these people through the eyes of the world, through the lenses and through the wrong prescription, all of a sudden we find out that we are presenting the wrong gospel. Gospel of what? Gospel of prosperity? That's a tough one in America today because, you know, a lot of people, they think that God's just a genie. You could rub that lamp, get their three wishes. Send in a little money, God's going to bless me, take care of that. God, hopefully you'll take care of that. And I commit nothing to you. It's the way God people, and oh God, oh, the way people treat God, they see him in that viewpoint, and that's where we get into that point of where we start seeing people in a totally wrong manner. And when we start treating people in the wrong manner, start treating them the opposite of what God sees them as. He sees them in two different categories. Here it is. Saved and unsaved. Going to heaven with him for all of eternity or going to the pits of hell. There's either or. There's no purgatory. There's no in-between. There's no chance to pray them out or to pay enough to get them out. It's do or die. And when we start seeing people the way that the world sees them and they're somehow different than us, listen, we are sinners saved by grace as Christians. We've become saints by the mercy of God. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. Who are we to look at people and see them any differently than what God does? And then the way that we treat them and the way that we cast them off and we go off into our little cliques and our groups because we're just used, that's our comfort zone. And let them sit by themselves. I wonder if Jesus would let them sit by themselves. I wonder if Jesus would cast them off in the corner. I think he'd probably go and sit right next to him. How can I serve you? How can I be the love of God to you right now? God, he's different from me. I just don't know how to respond. Step out of your comfort zone. Do a little bit of work because God did a whole lot for you, for me. Jesus went a long distance for us. I mean, we count the cost and all of a sudden, oh, we gotta stop our service at that point. That's just too far. There's a pastor that all of a sudden, I mean, and I understand, you know, ministry and the fact of bus ministry. You're trying to make sure that you're not overbalancing in your funds or what have you. But all of a sudden, they created a mileage marker, and the kids that were the rough kids were just outside that mileage marker. And he says, we're going to set this policy here, and we can't go outside of that. People recognize what he was doing. It's often the people that are in the roughest circumstances that recognize they are nothing and need Jesus. And if they see Jesus in us, it might make the difference. There was a teenager up back in the day up at Dayton. He was such a bad kid. They were taking a trip, and you know where Mackinac Bridge is? Way up north, that's several hours away from Dayton. I mean, you got to go all the way down past Saginaw and up into the Thumb to get to Dayton. He was so bad, the pastor kicked him off of the bus up the bridge. He hitchhiked his way home and beat the bus. Guess what he's doing today? Pastoring. We were having our 150th anniversary. We were celebrating that. And all of a sudden, they were talking about all the things that he did. He wasn't there yet. And he walked into the building, him and his wife. And we had those swinging doors in the back to where they'd always hit each other. They were just never right on. So when you go through, it doesn't matter how quiet you tried to be, it always hit each other and it'd make a noise. So everybody turns around, right? You know, because that's what everybody does. And they look at him, and everybody just starts laughing. He's like, what? All of a sudden, people start talking about the mercy of God, the grace of God, the glory of God in this man's life. I mean, that's where we need to be focused. And in that point, when we present the wrong gospel by looking and making distinctions and creating divisions, even within our own congregation, it should never be spoken of Grace Baptist Church that they're full of cliques. Never reached out to me. They never care. So that's not what Jesus is about. When we see people through the eyes of the world, we not only present the wrong gospel, but we present the wrong position. You say, what are you talking about? In verse 4, it says, are ye not then partial in yourselves and are become judges of evil thoughts? See, the thing about where I am and what the gospel presents and what we'll see here tonight as we embrace communion, the thing that we will realize is that we are not judge. God stands in that position. And no matter what I say, no matter what I do, will change that fact of where God resides. But so many times we get so pompous and arrogant in how we look at things and how we see people, we not only present them the wrong gospel, but we present them the wrong position of who we think we are. Again, I come back to, I am a sinner, saved by grace. By his stripes, I'm healed. By his mercy, his grace, I am where I am. As you come back to this, you say, how does this apply? How does this show itself? Sometimes we step back and we get into this strategic evangelism and discipleship. You say, what are you talking about? We step back and we start to see, as we start to present the wrong position, as we start to see ourselves as Lord and judge and ruler, and we're over and we're top notch and we're above everybody else, and we start to present the wrong gospel, all of a sudden we start trying to market ourselves. And you say, how do you do that? Well, we start stepping out and deciding that this group over here is better than this group over here. And you say, well, what are you talking about? Well, all of a sudden you start hearing about, well, maybe we should focus on the children a little bit more, because they're the next generation, and we need to make sure that we're spending thousands and thousands of dollars on them, because we need to make sure that we win them over by our programs and put the hippest people in that section to make sure that we get these kids' attention, and man, let's just focus right there. Then all of a sudden, we see the overbalance. We say, oh, well, we've forgotten about the young families and middle-aged folk, and let's start focusing right there because they're the one that make the babies. And man, if they're making the babies, we'll fill the nursery. And man, the nursery director will be, oh, man, so hip and smiling, and it's going to be awesome, and it's going to be great. So let's focus on the middle-aged people and say, oh, we're overbalancing it. Let's start focusing on all the wise people. You know what I'm saying right there?
Thank you.
Because they're the ones that got all the money. I think that's funny. What are we doing? Money? making babies. Next generation. Does Jesus see him as that? I think it's just a distraction from true evangelism. Let's get over here planning and let's stop doing the work. Let's stop reaching out. Let's get back to the planning. But then the outreach program is way down here. So what are you talking about? See, all of a sudden we start overbalancing based on how we view people in ministry, and we forget the fact that there's two groups. There's the unsaved that need to be reached, and there's saved that needs to be discipled. And when God presents the opportunity to do it, go for it. Stop looking at them the way that the world, well, they're a Democrat, you know, they're Republican, they're independent, they're libertarian, or they smoke weed, they do this, they do that, and I can never reach them, what have you. Listen, God can reach them. You might not be able to reach them, but God will reach them. You say, God, I don't know the words to say. Guess what? You have the Holy Spirit if you're saved. Stop making excuses. That's key. Back up. Are you confident in the promises of God that he sent the Holy Spirit to come within you? God himself is in you. What are we going to do? Start seeing people the way that they should be seen. Say, Pastor, you've only gotten through half of the scripture. I realize that. And due to that, there's going to be a part two. Say, why are you spending so much time on this? Because we need it. We need to get off of our high horse and start seeing the people the way that God sees them. When we present the wrong gospel, when we present the wrong position, guess what we do to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? We blur it out. We're wasting it. We allow Satan to put a bushel over top of our light. You know, back when I was a kid, we said, no way. And we weren't boring about it. No way. There's no way Satan is going to win the day. He describes us as the light of the world, that we would be on a city on a hill that cannot be hid. Let's not hide ourselves. Let's not discredit what God has done in our lives. How's the eye exam so far? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for all that you've done and what you're continuing to do. And God, we screw it up all the time. And I realize that. They realize this. But God, you give grace and you give mercy. And the good part is coming in part two. And I realize it's going to be a couple of weeks, but Lord, help us to just be in your word and studying this and seeing how it applies. God, help us see your truth, to understand that, to get real, to not excuse ourselves out, just keep wasting time away, throwing all the excuses of the book that, you know, the world throws out, that, you know, I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too too fat, too skinny, too limited, too short, too tall. I mean, God, we throw out whatever we can to excuse ourselves out of what you've called us to do. God, may we just be your disciples, your people. God, if there's someone here tonight that has not become your child yet, Lord, that they see that they must have faith in your gospel, God, in your Son whom you sent to die for us, to pay the penalty for us, because we knew nothing we could do could ever make us perfect enough for you. God, thank you for your Son. God, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's just...